Hello, awesome follower. I'm getting a couple of episodes out late because I've been taking care of some new turtle intakes to rehab after they were hit by cars. It's getting tricky because it's too cold now to keep them in the bus, and I've been scrambling to get everyone settled in my basement for the winter. Four painted turtles and a snapping turtle will be with me until spring, and I've needed to get a bunch of tank heaters, filters, UV lights, and food for them to do okay indoors and keep healing. By becoming a patron of this podcast for just a dollar a month, you'll be helping me keep these turtles warm and fed and getting them back into their wild homes in spring. Visit myshamaniclife.com to find out how to become a patron through Patreon and get exclusive behind-the-scenes updates on the Dancing Turtle Rescue and Rehab Turtles. Thank you for being part of this podcast and part of my work in the world. Welcome to My Shamanic Life, at the intersection of yoga, shamanic Reiki, and wildlife conservation. I'm your host, Debbie Philp, and I'm here to share the practices that keep me grounded, connected, and real as a yoga teacher, a shamanic Reiki practitioner and teacher, a wildlife rehabilitator and advocate, and a mentor for yoga teachers who are ready to share their unique gifts with the world as inspirational leaders and changemakers. My life, like this podcast, is totally imperfect and extraordinary. You'll find the past episodes on myshamaniclife.com, as well as a link to Patreon. By sponsoring this podcast on Patreon, you're supporting the rescue, rehabilitation, and release of injured wild turtles by helping me purchase needed equipment. Visit dancingturtlewildlife.com to learn more about wildlife rehabilitation and my turtle bus. I'll be offering a yoga practice in a bit, and you're welcome to unroll your mat and join me. For now, wherever you're listening, notice how the earth is holding you. Be aware of what touches the ground, the floor, your chair, or whatever is supporting you. Sink a little deeper into that support and feel your energetic roots sink down into the earth, anchored in, nourished, nurtured. You are here. The time is now. I pulled a card from Colette Baron-Reed's Spirit Animal Oracle today, and the card that I pulled is Dog Spirit, and I pulled Dog Spirit reversed, which means it was upside down when it came out of the deck. And Colette Baron-Reed says of dogs, protection message: loyalty to people and situations can turn into attachments that result in stagnation, enmeshment, and loss of integrity. Do you fear what will happen if you let a relationship evolve? Are you afraid that asking for a situation to change will make others see you as disloyal? Trust that when dog spirit appears, you are meant to accept the turning of the wheel and the changing of fortunes. Your greatest loyalty is to love, so be open to all its many guises, including self-love. You deserve the best, and that's what spirit wants for you. The dog spirit card came out of the deck, first off, when my daughter's dog, who's living with us, was barking, and I was trying to get him to be quiet so I could start the podcast. And also at a time of great change, our country is really being asked to consider, do we need to let go of some of the institutions that we've been hanging on to? In my community, there's been a letting go, there's been loss, and new things. And personally, the fall always brings me to a point where I start to reevaluate. It's the time when I plan the coming year from a professional and personal standpoint. I set my intentions and start to frame my goals and create action steps. As I do this process, I get very excited about the new things that I want to bring in. And while if I was only working on one of those things, I might have space to get into that right away. The problem is that I get excited about a number of things, and I get unrealistic about how much I can actually do at once. And I start to schedule a whole bunch of stuff for October and November because I want to jump into everything. I'm 1 week into my new year, beginning October 1st, and I'm already behind schedule according to the plan that I laid out for myself. And this happens because I think that I can do all these things and not leave any space for what I really need, which is rest, exercise, time with my family and my husband, time with my home, and time with me to sit, to do my practices, and time to shift when unexpected things come up. And I was thinking about that as that dog message came through about, what we're holding on to, what we create attachments to. One of the things that I have a tendency to do, and maybe you do too, is that I get excited about the new things that I want to start, but I forget that in order for there to be space for those new things, there's things that I need to let go of, that there needs to be an openness in my schedule, in my mind, in my heart for these new things. So I try to jump into these new things while I still have this to-do list that's associated with all the other things that I've taken on over the years. And if you're self-employed or a small business owner like I am, you know that there's a lot of work that goes on behind the scenes in making what you do happen in order to keep that business running. And that's what's been happening for me as I got into planning mode and then had some other stuff come in too, is that I started to shift into the new stuff and let the old stuff kind of go. So my message from Dog is about what do I need to let go of to make space for the new things that I'm really excited about, things that I'm shifting, the things that I want to bring into being. A lot of this year's stuff was really about paring down and honing in and being loyal to what I love. Really looked at a lot of my offerings this year and evaluated what still really lights me up to present and what is really feeling like work. And it's really hard because some of those things that feel heavy and like they're not feeding me are some of the things that my yoga students like. And it's really hard to say, I can't hold this anymore because it's hard for me to do it, that I need some space because somebody's going to be let down. And I hate to do that. But I also am sitting here, first week into a plan, and going, I don't have anywhere near as much as I needed to get done this week. And I have a workshop tomorrow that nobody even knows about yet. So I'd like to move into a yoga practice because I pulled the dog card. Downward facing dog, of course, comes to mind. And interesting, how do we build a practice around a pose that is usually stuck in a practice as transition? When I was taught sequencing and taught well, the idea was to get from one pose to another pose to another pose smoothly and with as few steps as possible. Downward facing dog is this amazing transition between being down on the floor to standing, from standing to back onto the floor. It's, of course, this integral part of sun salutations. And because of that, we often don't spend a lot of time in it. We don't spend a lot of time on alignment. We don't spend a lot of time settling in. And it's also a very challenging pose and contraindicated for many injuries and conditions. So, in both our own practices and as teachers, how do we work with things like downward facing dog to make them accessible and to hone in on the alignment without sacrificing the flow of your practice, without feeling like you're stuck in this pose? So, let's take a look at that with a short practice. We're going to start practice in child's pose. So if you're joining me to practice and getting on your mat, come down onto your hands and knees. And I'm going to invite you to open your knees wide, if that's available for you, so that your knees are about mat width apart. Bring your big toes together, sink your hips to your heels, drop your forehead down. Now reach your arms forward. As you start to settle in, place your palms down. Take a nice big breath in, and as you do, lengthen back through your tailbone. And as you exhale, sink your hips and your forehead down just a little bit more. Let's do that again. Take a big breath in through your nose, lengthen back through your tailbone. And as you exhale, release. Get a little bit heavier. Take another big breath in. Lengthen. Exhale, soften and release. Now continue breathing deeply, working the breath down into the low back, into the back ribs. Lift your palms just off the floor so that the pads of your fingers are down, and then crawl your fingers forward so your arms start to stretch a little bit longer out of your shoulders. At the same time, reach your tailbone back. Feel the lengthening through your sides. Now lay your palms back down. Keep the pads of your fingers pressing down. Draw your shoulder blades down towards your hips and in towards each other a little bit so that the points of your shoulder blades, the bottom points, move towards each other. And the shoulder blades are making a V, which is really deep from the shoulders down to the place where the points meet. Now we've got a little space in the upper back. Keep your palms down and rotate the inner creases of your elbows in and up. So the points of the elbows start to turn down toward the ground, and feel how that closes your shoulders just a bit. Now keep in mind that when you start to close the shoulders, if you do it with the shoulder blades up by the neck, you're going to crunch the upper back. You bring your shoulder blades down and in. You're stabilizing the thoracic spine, and you're making some space across the upper back for the shoulders to broaden as the armpits turn down toward the ground, tucking underneath. Take another breath. Lift your forehead and your palms just off the mat and walk your hands to the right until your upper body bends towards your right knee. Keep your left hip reaching back towards your heel, and lay your palms and forehead down with that bend. Take some breaths into your left side. So as you breathe down deep, we're going to open up through the low back on the left side of the waist, into the left side ribs, especially around toward the back. Keep the shoulder blades in and down. So the armpits are still slightly tucked under. Take one more breath. Now lift your head and your palms, again, just off of the mat. Walk your hands back through center, and then walk them to the left, so your upper body starts to bend toward the left knee. Reach back through your right hip. When you get to your edge in the bend, set your forehead and palms back down and breathe into your right side. Couple breaths here. feel that expansion. Now lift your forehead and your head just off the mat. Walk back to center. Lay your forehead and your hands back down. Take a couple more breaths. Very slowly make your way up onto your hands and knees. Bring your hands underneath your shoulders and walk your knees in to hip width apart. Press the tops of your feet down right behind your thighs, so if you look through your knees, you can't see your feet. Keep your fingers spread and press gently down into the pads of your fingers. Now turn the inner crease of your elbows forward just a little bit, so the points of the elbows are starting to work their way back. Draw the shoulder blades down and in, anchor them onto the back ribs. Broaden across the upper back. Keep your gaze down at the floor, right underneath your nose, and reach forward through the crown of your head as you reach back through your tailbone. Draw your navel slightly to your spine so that the front of your pelvis tips up and in, just a micro movement to flatten the sacrum. And feel table pose. So your body is flat like a table, and if I set a place setting on your low back, it would stay there, it wouldn't slide off. Really being a table. Take another breath in table. And then relaxing and holding just a little bit, take an inhale. And as you do, draw your heart forward through your arms. Lift your tailbone to the sky so your navel moves toward the floor, your back sinks and arches. And as you exhale, lift your navel all the way up into your spine, round your back, tuck your tailbone down towards your knees and let your head fall down towards your hands. Inhale. Press your navel toward the floor, scoop your heart through your arms. Feel your shoulder blades slide down your back, broaden across the upper back, tailbone to the sky. And as you exhale, round your back. Feel the shoulders roll forward a little bit. Drop your tailbone. And then inhale, draw your heart up and through, lift your tailbone to the sky. Exhale, round your back. Keep this going. Do about five more. And as you're flowing through cow and cat, feel the movement in the spine, but also notice the movement in your hips and your shoulders. As you're lifting your tailbone to the sky, the pelvis tips forward. The front of the hips come toward the thighs, you deepen the crease of the hips, opened up the hamstrings and low back just a little bit, and as you exhale and round, the tailbone goes down, the hamstrings shorten, the low back rounds, and then the same thing in the shoulders. As you inhale, draw your heart up through your arms, your shoulder blades go down the back, they're sinking into that hollow of the back. Get broad across the collarbones, and as you exhale and round, the shoulders release forward. So our cat and cow, our cat rolls, are creating pose and a counter pose back and forth. And this dynamic movement is helping to open up these joints to make some space and also help us to feel into the shape that we're going to get into in down dog. Take one more round. And at the end of your exhale, come back to that flat table position. Drawing the navel toward the spine and the front of the pelvis in and up just a little bit. So you're nice and flat and I can come sit my coffee cup on your back. Now notice your neck. Let your neck be an extension of the upper back. So if you drew lines from your earlobes to the tops of your shoulders, they would be straight and flat and level with the ground as well. Now walk your hands forward 6 inches, which is about the length of one of your hands, maybe 8 inches. You might possibly go a foot. Depends on your down dog, and we can adjust this. Keep your hands shoulder width apart. Your middle fingers point straight ahead. And then spread your fingers just a little bit wider, so that your thumbs reach towards each other and your pinkies reach out toward the sides of the mat. Take care not to strain here, so you want to be in a comfortably broad hand. And then press the pads of your fingers down, all 10 of them. Press down through the knuckles. Press the upper ridge of the palm, right at the base of the fingers. Press that down. And then roll that pressing into the outer part of the hand. Cross the heel of the hand and into the ball of the thumb. So that you've got all of the parts of your hands that are raised, pressing down into the floor. We want the power of this pose to be this groundedness of the hands, pushing the floor away so that we can open up through the sides and the legs. You're keeping your knees bent deeply. Lift them 2 inches off the floor so that your shins are just about parallel with the ground. Sit your hips back towards your heels so that your belly comes to your thighs. So remember when we were doing our inhale cow in the cat rolls, we closed the front of the hip to the top of the thigh, made that hip crease really deep. That's what we're feeling for. That tailbone's going to lift just a little bit. Now let your knees come back down. Lifting your hips back over the knees, shoulders over the hands. Now try that again. Curl your toes under. Lift your knees just up off the floor. Press your belly back towards your thighs so your hips come towards your heels. You're going to find that your upper body comes a little lower. Your head starts to come down through your arms. Take another breath. Lower your knees. Now drop right back into child's pose. You can make your knees broad again if you'd like. Come off of your hands for a moment, wiggle things out. Nice. Come back up onto your hands and knees. Walk your hands forward between 6 inches and 12 inches, depending on how things are comfortable for you. Point your middle fingers forward, reach your thumbs towards each other, your pinkies towards the sides of the mat, press the pads of your fingers down, press the outer ridges of your palm down, and into the ball of the thumb. Now before you lift up this time, keep your hands pressing down, and just like we did in that first child's pose, turn the elbow creases up toward the sky so that the points of your elbows move down toward the ground. Curl your toes. Lift your knees a couple inches up so your shins are about parallel to the ground. Bring your hips to your heels. Connect the front of the hips to the top of the thighs, really deep into that hip crease. Now keep that little bit of tilt and start to lift your hips up. Your legs are going to begin to straighten, but allow the knees to stay really soft and they can have as much bend as necessary. Now pedal your heels. Little bend into one knee, drop into the other heel, stretching down the back of that leg. And then switch, bend that knee, sink down into the other heel. And go side to side a few times. Take your time and really feel this. What does it feel like to stretch down the back of the leg, lifting up through that hip a little bit as you straighten the leg? Let the heel drop without pressing it down. Go side to side a couple more times. And then settle in so that both knees are equally soft. Notice where your heels are. Your heels do not have to be on the ground. If you think you would like your heels on the ground, and you have enough flexibility in your hips to be able to shorten your downward facing dog without sacrificing the length in your low back, then walk your feet a little closer to your hands. Someone once asked me why the backs of their ankles strained so much after yoga, why there was pain there. And I wasn't sure until I saw his downward facing dog. And I looked at him reaching with his heels. Got that Achilles tendon down the back of the ankle, and we know that this is a scary place to get an injury. It was for Achilles. And by reaching with the heels without having the openness down the whole back of the leg, the only thing that we can stretch is that Achilles tendon, and it's tendon. It's connective tissue, it's not muscle, and it's not going to stretch like a muscle will. And when we overdo it, trying to achieve that heels down, it's going to get strained, or worse. So my invitation for you in Down Dog is to leave the heels out of it. I've been hanging in this Down Dog for a little while. Drop your knees. Sit back into child's pose just for a few breaths. Come back onto your hands and knees, hands forward. Check out your fingers, press into the pads, outer ridges of the palms, base of the thumb. Curl your toes under. Move into your downward dog by reaching your hips back towards your heels as your knees come up a few inches off the floor, and then slowly angle your tailbone to the sky, lift up, and let that lifting up of the hips, let the heels start to drop as the legs straighten. Doesn't matter where the heels go. Your knees can stay a little bit bent. Let's feel into this pose just a little bit more now that we've got the legs more open. We're still pressing down into the pads of the fingers and pads of the palms. Keep them pressing down. And then bring your attention again to the inner creases of your elbows and rotate them in and up so that the points of the elbows start down toward the ground. Notice how we're creating this external rotation in the upper arms. Feel how the head of your arm bone, your humerus, shifts into the back of your shoulders just a bit. Now at the same time you're making that little shift, slide your shoulder blades towards your hips and in towards each other. So you're deepening that V and stabilizing the thoracic spine as the shoulder blades press into the back ribs. You've got some space across your upper back, so your armpits can turn under slightly, closing the shoulders. And you're supporting that with that little bit of external rotation. Now we've got the shoulder stable. Where's your head? Just like when we were in table pose, align your neck with your upper back. So it's one straight line from the upper back to the crown of your head. And that's going to angle the crown of your head towards your thumbs. Your ears are between your arms, and the bottom of the earlobes are in line with the tops of the shoulders. Keep your elbows soft. Keep your shoulders soft. So even though they're doing all this work, we're not locking up around the joints. Now press the floor away with the pads of your hands. Reach up and back through your tailbone. And close that space between the hip points and the tops of your thighs just a bit. So just like we did in table pose, take the front of the pelvis in and up just a little bit. And that's going to give you a little more space to move deeper into the hip creases. Lengthening down through the sides of your waist. And we made that space when we did our bends from side to side. Feel how that is through your body and check in here. Are you breathing? Take a few breaths. Now move your thigh bones into the backs of your thighs. Turn your knees towards each other slightly. Look through your feet and move your heels out until they're behind your toes. Pressing back through the thigh bones. That's going to open the hamstrings a little bit. As the back of the leg opens, you might find your heels sink just a little bit more toward the floor. Take one more breath. An amazing in downward facing dog. Notice how this down dog feels. The more you practice moving into downward facing dog with alignment, conscious alignment, and intention, the easier it is to come back to this feeling of being in this aligned and powerful downward facing dog when you're moving through your flows. Release your knees down to the mat. Keep your hands out in front and shift your shoulders over your wrists so that you've just rolled up to the front of your knees, the top of your knees. Now turn those elbow creases forward so that the points of your elbows are reaching back towards your feet. Bend your elbows. Your elbows are going to scrape right against your side ribs. Lower your chin and chest, but tilt the tailbone to the sky. So as you come into this caterpillar, the front of the hips move toward the upper thighs, just like we did in our cat rolls. Pause there when your upper arms are level with your upper body. Take another breath in. Hold holding this caterpillar just for a moment. And then scoop your heart through your arms so your belly comes all the way down onto the floor. When we're in cobra, point your toes back. Roll your shoulders down your back. We're gonna hold cobra for a few breaths. So pose, counter pose. We're gonna counter all the forward folding of our downward facing dog by taking a back bend into cobra. A few breaths here. Just like when we were doing our rolls, our cat rolls. Roll your shoulders back. Broaden across the upper back. Drop your shoulder blades down. Feel how the back creates that arch. Points of the hips down, tops of the feet down. A few more breaths. Extend through the crown of your head. Upper back, neck, crown, all in one line. Bottom of the earlobes, right over the shoulders. Feel into that. One more big breath in. Exhale, lower down. Extend your arms out like you're making a T, palms down. Give the earth a hug. And turn your head to the right so you're looking out towards your right hand. Bend your right knee. And then lift that knee off of the ground. Lift the thigh, lift the right hip. Reach your leg across your back and extend your toes towards your left hand. They're not going to get there. It's just a place to aim. Keep your right hand pressing down, even if the right shoulder comes up a little bit, and feel how you're twisting in the middle of your back. Nice release for back bends. Take another breath. And then slowly bring your knee back down. Lower your foot back down to the floor. Lift your head and turn your head to the left. So you're resting on your right cheek now and looking out towards your left fingers. Press down into your left hand. Bend your left knee to lift your foot and then lift your knee, your thigh, your hip. Keep your knee bent as you roll your hips open to the left a little bit and reach across your back towards your right hand. Remember, your foot doesn't have to get to your hand, and it probably won't. Opening up. Take another breath down through that twist. Slowly bring your left knee down, lower your foot. Turn your head to center so that your forehead or your chin is down. Bring your hands underneath your shoulders. Hug your elbows into your sides. Press the tops of your feet down. Draw the front of your pelvis in and up a little bit to flatten the sacrum. Move the hip points into the floor. Take an inhale, peel your heart up into cobra. Now press your hands down. Shift your hips towards your heels, knees bent, curl your toes under, and lift into downward facing dog. Take a breath. Release both knees, walk your hands towards your knees, drop your hips to one side of your feet, and swing your legs around. Roll yourself down onto your back. Hug your knees in, rock a little bit from side to side. perhaps a little more of a twist, dropping both knees to one side for a couple breaths and both to the other side for a couple breaths. And then release your feet. Extend your legs out. Splay your feet open. Relax your shoulders. Drop your arms away from your sides. Turn your palms up. Feel your shoulder blades sink into the floor and your ribs sink into the shoulder blades. Sink your head down. Close your eyes. Relax your jaw. The time when the real self-care starts. When you give your body permission to rest, for the muscles to recover, for your body systems to integrate the experience of your practice. For your heart and mind to weave those experiences into who you are in this moment. Make space for these new experiences by letting go of what doesn't serve. Stay loyal to what you love. And I'm going to leave you here to rest in Savasana as long as you desire, honoring the divine light in all beings that connects us and makes us one. Namaste.